This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, we are getting very close to the culmination of the election cycle for the 2024 November general election. Circling back to talk to some of the folks in the prominent races that have attracted a lot of interest around the state and region. And Will Lathrop back on with us, Republican candidate for Attorney General. Will, thanks for being on today.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So how do you feel about this race as we're getting this close to the final day?
Well, I know it's going to be really, really close, and the voting turnout is low and a little bit chaotic. So I think, like probably every other candidate, I'm just anxious to see what happens.
And I know in Douglas County, we're well below normal for a presidential election year. I know each county kind of varies a bit. Any idea with the intensity of the presidential race why the numbers aren't higher?
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I did. You know, I don't come from a political background. I have a law enforcement background, so I'm kind of experiencing this newly like everybody else. But one of the things is in places like Multnomah County, they've gone to this ranked choice voting, and they have so many people on the ballots, and the voting is so complex. But that kind of explains why Multnomah County is down. I think there's a lower voter turnout just simply because they've got a very complex voting system, and people are turned off by it. But for the rest of the state, I'm not quite sure why.
So let's talk about the Attorney General's office to begin with. As you have been traveling around the state and talking with people, I'm guessing that you hear a lot of misconceptions about what the role and the work of the AG is.
Yeah, I think maybe more than misconceptions, just people don't really understand the role, and there's apathy towards it because they don't see how it's going to impact or make their lives better. So the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer of the state. It's the chief child protection officer of the state. It's the anti-corruption wing of the government. So there's some things people ask me about the public school systems in disarray. Well, the Attorney General doesn't have any influence on that. But if you're talking about crime and addiction and even homelessness or public corruption or child safety, the Attorney General really is in the center of those things. And if they're not going well, it's because there's been a failure of leadership.
And as you look at the role of the AG, we've talked before about just how big this staff is. I think it's a lot bigger than most people imagine.
Yeah, it's kind of depends on how you count the head count, but it's over 1,400 people.
And how are you ready to manage all those folks?
Well, you know, my background for the last almost decade has been in executive leadership, leading large multinational teams in Africa. In my last position, I had full executive authority of hiring, firing, budget priorities, office strategy and execution. So I've been doing that at a smaller level, and this will just be scaling what I've had success at before to a higher level.
And as you look at the race, let's back up a few steps. What was it that made you want to run for Attorney General to begin with?
Yeah, so if your listeners recall, I was a child sex abuse prosecutor in Salem for a number of years, went to Washington, D.C., and did that work at the national level. And then most recently, I've been leading these multinational teams in Africa to rescue human trafficking victims and prosecute traffickers and traitors. I've always been a resident of Oregon, and each year I'd come back and just watching the decay of law, coming from a victim protection background. I mean, that's all I've done for my whole adult career, has been working to protect people from violence and crime. And coming back to Oregon over the last decade and just watching us become increasingly bad at protecting people, I wouldn't say I've ever wanted to run for Attorney General. I felt really duty-bound. I felt like this is something I had to do to come back and protect my state because things have gotten so bad.
Now, you've emphasized in your TV ads the need to try something different. Talk about that aspect.
Well, I mean, that's the thing in Oregon is I've gone and spoke to all 36 counties. I've spoke to countless neighborhood associations in Portland. My office is in Portland. I'm originally from Joseph, Oregon, which is Eastern Oregon. So I'm from and very familiar with rural Oregon. And I'm in the middle of the mess in Portland. And I find that people are more unified in Oregon than I've ever seen them before, and that everybody's kind of miserable and they want change. Everybody recognizes things aren't good. And so what I want to tell people is they're not going to change until you elect new people, people that are coming from outside the system that have new, fresh ideas and actually have expertise in fixing the problems. My opponent's been a part-time lawyer and a full-time politician his whole career. He's going to really struggle. He's the one that's voted for every single thing that's gotten us into this mess in the first place. So to elect him to a new position and expect something to change is just frankly, you know, unwitting. So the message I'm having to people, not just in my race, but other races, don't focus so much on party or voting all blue or all red. Focus on the person that's running for the race. Are they qualified? Will they do a good job? Will they bring change? Will they make things better? And vote for that person.
Well, and even I think we talked about this maybe last time about, I mean, the Attorney General, when you talk about law enforcement, a lot of people would view that as something that shouldn't be Republican or Democrat.
Yeah, I wish it was a nonpartisan position. It would make, well, because my opponent has no law enforcement experience at all, if you took the Republican and Democrats off, it selfishly would help me a lot because I'd be in a much better position to win. But I just think just philosophically, it's a bad idea to have law enforcement positions be partisan because you're supposed to be serving everyone and enforcing the law blindly and justly. And partisan politics or politics generally always color decision making.
Now, have you had an opportunity while you've been campaigning or working on this race to talk to people that are attorney generals in other states?
I have. Yes, I have. A number of them, yes.
And what kinds of things have you learned from that experience?
Well, you know, I think one thing is that it's a big job. It's often overlooked by a lot of voters, and they don't usually have an understanding of how big of an impact that attorney generals have in a state and how important they are to protecting people from crime. And so I've talked to other attorney generals in states who talk about the time that there was change in leadership in the attorney general's races in their states. It was when the crime got to be so bad that people actually stood up and looked around and realized that it was an attorney general and that it mattered and that they needed to vote for somebody different.
What are some of the changes you would implement in your first month as AG if you're elected?
One of the first things is and I'm already starting to work on a strategy for this because it's got to happen really, really fast. There's so many people that are overdosing and dying from fentanyl. I don't know if you know this, but the rest of the country has seen a 12% decrease in fentanyl overdose deaths in the last year, and Oregon's seen a 20% increase. In other words, we're going the exact opposite direction as everyone else. We have to do something about fentanyl. We have to make it exceedingly difficult to get fentanyl and methamphetamine in our state. We are completely disorganized at the state level. There isn't a strategy. There isn't a plan. There aren't resources in place. So day one, I'm going to be bringing the law enforcement leaders across the state, sheriffs, chiefs of police, and district attorneys. I'm going to work with them to build a collective strategy and share information and share resources and plug back into the federal government. That's DEA, FBI, and Interpol, and start working cases up and out of our state and across federal lines to make it exceedingly difficult for the foreign cartel to do business in the state of Oregon.
Because of your background with human trafficking, how much of human trafficking and drug trafficking is connected?
Well, in Oregon, human trafficking and drug trafficking go hand in hand. Drug trafficking equals addiction. Addiction equals vulnerability, and vulnerability equals exploitation. Whenever you see like a large amount of drug trafficking going on, you can guarantee that there will also be vulnerable women, vulnerable even men and vulnerable teens and even younger that are selling their bodies to pay for their addiction. And so the criminal organization makes money two ways, one from selling drugs, the other from selling the people that they get addicted to drugs. So that's common. It happens all over the world.
We're going to take a break, talk more with Will Lathrop when we get back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Inside Douglas County tomorrow, 4th District Congresswoman running for re-election, Val Hoyle, will be on the program. Will Lathrop with us today, Republican candidate for Attorney General. We're just a few days away from the race. You mentioned it's close. I know you're probably reluctant to say much about polling, but just how close is this race?
Oh, I mean, the polls consistently have always been within the margin of error, so that's never really changed. It's difficult to say, you know, the polls kind of go out the window when people don't, when the voting turnout is bizarre and very low. But yes, the polls have always been, had us neck and neck.
How would you work with lawmakers to deal with the drug and homelessness issues you've talked about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of good laws on the books right now, and we're just not enforcing them. So my first priority is to activate the law enforcement community to start enforcing the law and holding people accountable for dealing drugs in Oregon. So I think we have a mistake in Oregon when we see problems on the street or we see problems in our neighborhood. We think we need to pass different laws and we need to allocate more money. But we've been passing laws and allocating a ton of money and nothing's getting better. We need to enforce the laws expertly and execute them well. That's going to be my top priority. But when it comes to dealing with homelessness, I think that there's two things that are driving chronic homelessness in the state of Oregon. One is addiction. Two is mental health. If you talk to 100 different people who are chronically homeless, almost 100% of them are going to have an addiction issue, or they're going to have a mental health issue, or they're going to have both. And so what we are almost worst in the country at is dealing with mental health. We have very draconian civil commitment laws, so it's very difficult to get people who are having manic phase or manic episodes into treatment and get them into a safe place. And we don't really have a safe place to put them anyways, because we don't have the treatment facilities or the institutions across the state to really put people. So we are, for some reason in Oregon, our mental health plan is to have people be homeless or get arrested and go to jails and be treated in jails. It's embarrassing. It's inhumane. I'm against it. I don't know why we've had this has been going on so long and there's been no reasonable fix to it, but I'm going to try to work in my position of leadership to advocate for mental health, not only new civil commitment laws, but more resources and more institution and care providers across the state, because this should have been done a long time ago.
Do you feel like backing up historically, there's been a reluctance to qualify or put mental health issues sort of in the same realm for getting care as physical health issues?
Yeah, I mean, less people suffer from it, probably. I'm sure, like all people that are living in the margins or are vulnerable, they're last in line. I also think it's a complex issue, and I'm not trying to simplify it. I think it's a complex issue where we get in these either-or conversations where either we institutionalize everybody or we institutionalize nobody. So in Oregon, we drove away from institutionalization for mental health, for severe mental health episodes. And we should have found a middle ground. There, you know, the street in the rain with fentanyl and crime all around you is not a safe and humane place to put people with mental health. I think everybody would agree with that. And so we need to have more treatment facilities, institutional beds, and we need to make it easier for law enforcement and family and concerned community members to get people treatment when they're no longer capable of making decisions themselves.
Now, shift from the Oregon legislature changed our laws to some extent in the beginning of September, early September. Obviously, it's only a month and a half in. Are you hearing of much of an impact from that change?
You're talking about the decriminalization of drugs and the recriminalization of drugs. Is that what you're referring to?
Right.
I don't know. It would be too early to tell. I do know that the whole House Bill 4002, which was supposed to walk back some of the portions of Measure 110, I would describe it as by legalizing drugs with 110, we took two giant steps backwards in the state of Oregon, and then House Bill 4002 takes one small step forward. So it's good progress. It's going in the right direction. It's not nearly enough to meet the crisis that's in front of us. And it was largely a political compromise. And whenever you're trying to fix a compromise and, excuse me, fix something that's a national or statewide crisis, with a compromise bill, it's never going to be enough. And so I hope I hope there's going to be more that'll be done in the next session.
What's the role of the Attorney General in terms of things like business corruption or when companies are not following laws related to how they're operating?
Yeah, and probably, you know, there's a civil enforcement division underneath the Attorney General's office, and it oversees antitrust law, which is monopolies, and oversees securities, which is illegal investments, and it oversees consumer protection. And that's probably the thing that touches Oregonians the most. That's when large corporations in Oregon or nationally exploit or use unfair business practices or trick consumers. And the Attorney General is supposed to police and patrol that and hold those people accountable. And also, when online scammers or email scammers or what are called silver scammers or people that are at the lowest level exploiting other people for money and taking their last dimes or the last paycheck, the Attorney General is also supposed to be involved in that as well.
Back up to when you began to become interested in a lawyer in younger years, how did that whole process start?
Oh boy, I've never got that question before. Well, you know what I wanted to do my whole life up to law school is I wanted to play in the NFL. So I did put all of my weight into football till my fifth year in college when I realized it wasn't going to happen. And law school was my backup plan. So I'd love to say this is something I've always dreamed of doing, but the truth is that I went to law school trying to find where I fit in and how I could serve my community. And even after law school, I struggled for a few years to see a way forward, how I could use this degree that most people use to get power or get a lot of money or try to build a hierarchy around themselves. And that didn't fit my personality well. And it wasn't until I realized, I kind of found myself when I started prosecuting child sex abuse cases, that I thought, I can be the voice for these voiceless children. I can stand up and do what's right for people who have had such wrong things done to them. And that kind of public service, honestly, I do that kind of public service for free. That's what fills me up. And that's what, you know, makes me feel like I'm doing what I've, you know, my purpose or what I was called to do. And that's what the Attorney General is for me. It's just doing that on a higher scale at a bigger level, trying to serve people and keep them safe and protect the people who can't protect themselves.
It's interesting that you said kind of like a calling, and that's actually what I was thinking about during your reply there, that it's something that goes pretty deep in what you'd like to achieve.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, this is, I could probably say this in this 11th hour. Campaigning for office is not a particularly good time. I mean, you probably take more abuse than you get joy out of it. But I think things are bad enough in Oregon. Somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to stand up and say, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to prioritize servant leadership and I'm going to protect people. And I feel called to do that. I really do. I feel very intrinsically motivated to do that.
For those that are holding on to their ballots and one of the races they're undecided on is the AG race, what would you say to try to sway them your direction?
Well, look, your vote really, really matters right now because not a lot of people are voting. So if you're voting, if you haven't voted, please do it. Get your ballot in. And if you're fine with everything, how everything is, if you think that law enforcement is doing well and crime is down and we've got a good handle on drugs, then I'm probably not your person. But if you're really worried about the future of children, if you're really frustrated that we keep spending money on crime, homelessness, addiction, and nothing ever seems to get better, and if you're worried about the state of our economy because there's so much out-migration because people are leaving the state in frustration, then you can't keep voting for the same thing and expect things to get different. So I would ask you to take a hard look at my campaign and my background and vote for me.
And what's the response been from law enforcement to your campaign?
Overwhelmingly positive. You know, more than 100 law enforcement leaders across the state have endorsed my campaign. The Sheriff's Association endorsed my campaign. Lots and lots of DAs, current and former, that's district attorneys. I've just been very well supported by law enforcement because they know what it means to have a pro-law enforcement person with my statewide, nationwide, and international background is going to mean to rebuilding the law enforcement culture in the state of Oregon. And they also know that my opponent has zero law enforcement experience, has had his own troubles with the law, and has generally been on the side of defending people who have committed sex offenses or sexual harassment against other people, and doesn't really fit the role that he's running for.
If people want to find out more about you, where's your website? How do they get connected?
Yeah, it's willlathrop.com. That's my name, willlathrop.com. And I'm on those social media platforms as well, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or X. And we post daily, so we'd love for you to follow our stuff there, too.
Will Lathrop, Republican candidate for Attorney General, thanks for being on today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.